Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome to the Tech Meme Ride Home for Thursday, June 11th, 2020. I'm Brian McCullough. Today, it's Regulation News Day. The EU might be about to file antitrust charges against Amazon, and California officially labeled Uber and Lyft workers as employees. Amazon also hit pause on its facial recognition tech as it waits for Congress to set some ground rules. Photoshop Camera is an interesting app, and Postman is an interesting raise. Here's what you missed today in the world of tech. Sources are telling the Wall Street Journal that the European Union is planning on filing formal antitrust charges against Amazon for scooping up data from third-party sellers and using that information, allegedly, to compete with them. Quote, "The charges could be officially filed as early as next week or the week after," one of the people said. The European Commission, the bloc's top antitrust regulator, has been honing its case, and the case team has been circulating a draft of the charge sheet for a couple of months, another person said. The formal charges would be the commission's latest step in a nearly two-year probe into Amazon's alleged mistreatment of sellers that use its platform. The charges, called a statement of objections, stem from Amazon's dual role as a marketplace operator and a seller of its own products, the people said. In them, the EU accuses Amazon of scooping up data from third-party sellers and using that information to compete against them, for instance, by launching similar products, end quote. Actually, you might remember that it was a Wall Street Journal investigation in April that accused Amazon of using data from sellers to develop its own in-house private label products. Apparently, it could take as long as a year or more for the commission to decide if Amazon indeed broke any laws, even after they formally file. But if found guilty, the commission could fine Amazon as much as 10% of its annual revenue and force it to change the way it does business. Staying with Amazon for a second, the company says that it will also ban police from using its facial recognition technology for 1 year while it waits for Congress to pass regulations around the use of facial recognition tech more generally. Quoting CNBC, "We've advocated that governments should put in place stronger regulations to govern the ethical use of facial recognition technology, and in recent days, Congress appears ready to take on this challenge," Amazon said in a statement. "We hope this one-year moratorium might give Congress enough time to implement appropriate rules, and we stand ready to help if requested," end quote. While the House Committee on Oversight and Reform has held a number of hearings on the use of facial recognition technology, it is yet to introduce a bill regulating the technology. Representative Jimmy Gomez of California, who serves on the committee, told CNBC in a phone interview he is hopeful Congress will pass a bill this year. "It's a good first step, but it's still not enough," said Representative Gomez of Amazon's announcement. They're saying, "We've been asking Congress to put guardrails on the use of this technology, but every time we tried to get more and more data, they stalled, and we had to have hearings to make movement on the issue," end quote. Gomez says the committee has been seeking more information about the technology and to whom Amazon sells it, end quote. And more from the regulators. The California Public Utilities Commission has formally ruled that it considers Uber and Lyft drivers to be employees of those companies under the newly enacted state law known as AB5, quoting NBC News. The finding, first reported by the San Francisco Chronicle, came as part of an 18-page document that covers a host of other upcoming rulemaking as it pertains to these types of companies, which are known in the state as transportation networking companies, or TNCs. For now, it's not clear what practical difference this ruling defining drivers as employees makes, given the company's longstanding resistance to reclassifying the backbone of their workforce. However, last week, the California regulator also issued a formal reminder to the companies that they had to provide workers' compensation for their employees by July 1st, and under state law could consider revoking the company's relevant operating authority if they did not comply. Last month, Attorney General Xavier Becerra and the city attorneys from San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego sued over the company's alleged noncompliance with AB5, end quote. Uber and Lyft have not commented on the ruling, as far as I could find at the time of this writing, so we don't know if they intend to abide by that July 1st deadline, which is, of course, not that far away. And following up to confirm that indeed, JustEatTakeaway.com officially confirmed that it is acquiring Grubhub in an all-stock deal that has an equity value of around $7.3 billion. Quoting Bloomberg, Amsterdam-based Just Eat Takeaway said it will pay $75.15 per share for Grubhub in an all-stock deal. Grubhub's share price rose 4% in extended trading to about $62, while the European company fell 13%. The deal sidelines Uber, which had been in acquisition talks with Grubhub for months. Political pressure raised questions about whether U.S. regulators would approve such a deal. The two companies had nearly aligned on price, but remained at odds over other issues, including terms of a breakup fee for Grubhub if the deal couldn't be completed, people familiar with the matter said last month. Grubhub will launch Just Eat Takeaway into the U.S. market, broadening its already global reach that includes Australia, Brazil, and Canada, in addition to its home base in Europe. Jitsi Groen, the Dutch billionaire who created Takeaway in 2000 in his university dorm room, has been looking to expand aggressively over the last year. Less than 2 months ago, Takeaway received antitrust clearance from the UK for its $8 billion acquisition of Just Eat, end quote. Now, if you were paying attention, you'll note that the rise in Grubhub share price did not quite meet the price that Just Eat was willing to pay as an acquisition. That's apparently because the markets and analysts expect that this might not be the end of the story. Many people expect other players to perhaps launch their own bids for Grubhub, so maybe watch this space. And I'm not sure how much this is a meaningful story, but, you know, round numbers and all, I guess it's worth keeping track of just for keeping track purposes, but Apple and Microsoft yesterday officially became the first U.S. companies to reach a market cap of $1.5 trillion. Apple shares hit $352 yesterday, up from their March low of $229. And by the way, since we're keeping score, Amazon also hit a record stock high yesterday, reaching a market valuation of $1.3 trillion, while Alphabet topped the trillion-dollar mark for the first time since February. Though no doubt all are down a bit today, as the market seems to have noticed that the coronavirus is not exactly going away. Amid the protests and increased conversations, even in tech circles, surrounding questions of race, a movement is swelling again to update widely used tech terms such as whitelist, blacklist, and master-slave. Doing away with such questionable terms has been suggested before, but perhaps in this moment, there's a greater support for updating things generally. Quoting CNET, the terms master and slave, used to describe the relationships between two computer hard drives and or between two camera flashes, have come under scrutiny because of their association with America's history of slavery. Similarly, whitelist and blacklist, terms for allowing and denying access to a service, are being revisited because of their potentially racial overtones. Quote, I refuse to use whitelist, blacklist, or master-slave terminology for computers. Join me. Words matter, tweeted Leah Culver, co-founder of the Breaker podcast app and co-author of the widely used OAuth sign-on technology. More than 16,000 people liked her tweet. Photographer Teresa Baer expressed a similar sentiment on the Petapixel photo site, writing that it's time to, quote, make way for our black community by banishing the use of master and slave to refer to how flashes are controlled. Can you imagine being on set with a black human and the photographer yells to the assistant, hey, can you put on slave mode? Baer asked. Other terms proposed for sunsetting include white hat and black hat, with ethical and unethical suggested as replacements, end quote. Let's be real for a minute. Most guys would wear a t-shirt every day of their lives if they could. The problem is that most t-shirts are not acceptable to wear at work or out on a hot date night. But today's sponsor, Cuts, has finally changed that. Cuts t-shirts are such high quality, wrinkle-free, and so buttery soft that you can look like you're dressing up even when you're dressing down. Yeah, you heard that. Wrinkle-free. You never have to substitute comfort for fashion ever again. If you see me in a t-shirt, it's likely one from Cuts. I'm also a huge fan of their AO 5-pocket pants. The right sort of step up from jeans without going all the way into dress pants. Like literally my ideal Venn diagram of professional looking but comfortable feeling. When you touch something from Cuts, you can immediately feel the quality. Their proprietary fabric blends are ridiculously soft and breathable, they don't wrinkle, and they look way more expensive than they actually are. For a limited time, our listeners get 20% off your entire order when you use code RIDE at checkout. That's 20% off your order at cutsclothing.com with promo code RIDE. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the perfect blend of style and comfort with Cuts Clothing. cutsclothing.com, promo code RIDE for 20% off. How do you make a password that's strong enough so no one will guess it, and it's impossible for you to forget, and do it for 100 different sites, and make it so everyone in your company can do the same without ever needing to reset them? Sounds impossible unless you have 1Password. More than any other product I've ever told you about, I can vouch 1,000% for 1Password. I can't live without it. 1Password makes strong security easy for your people and gives you the visibility you need to take action when you need to. Any device, anytime, 1Password lets you securely switch between iPhone, Android, Mac, and PC with convenient features like autofill for quick sign-ins. All you have to remember is the one strong account password that protects everything else. Your logins, your credit cards, secure notes, or the office Wi-Fi password. 1Password's award-winning password manager is trusted by millions of users and over 100,000 businesses from IBM to Slack. It beat out 40 other options to become Wirecutter's top pick for password managers. Right now, my listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/ride for your growing business. That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/ride. Don't let security slow your business down. Go to 1Password.com/ride. Adobe has launched Photoshop Camera, a free app with a whole bunch of elaborate face filters, which use its Sensei AI to recognize subjects and suggest filters. It's available right now on iOS and on recent Pixel, Galaxy, and OnePlus phones, quoting The Verge. Photoshop Camera has little to do with Photoshop beyond the fact that both have to do with photos, and both of them are apps. You can do some basic photo editing here, adjust contrast, exposure, saturation, and so on. But mostly, you're meant to snap a picture, filter it, and leave. If you want to make adjustments, there's a magic wand button that automatically dials in changes for you, so you don't have to worry about the actual settings. The app can't record video, which is too bad, because the effects would be pretty fun. And Photoshop Camera really is a fun app to play around with. When you open it, you'll find a half a dozen or so filter options, most of which have a bunch of variations you can swipe between. One of my favorites, the Spectrum filter, has different versions that can split your image across multiple color spectrums, drop you into some geometric void, or cover you with glitched out stripes. Some others, like the food filter, seem to just be bland color filters without much special going on. But the face filters tend to get pretty elaborate. Adobe intends to add more filters over time, some of which will come in partnership with specific artists and creators. At launch, there are a handful of collaborations, including one with Billie Eilish that makes skies look eerie and rains her blush logo down on you. Creators can't sell those right now, but Parnassus said that, quote, you can imagine a world where there will be special purposed lenses directly monetized around events or venues, end quote. Interesting raise Thursday. Postman helps developers build, test, and iterate their APIs. And Postman has raised a $150 million Series C led by Insight Partners at a $2 billion valuation, quoting VentureBeat. Founded out of India in 2014, Postman has built an API development platform used by more than 11 million developers and 500,000 companies, including Shopify, Box, Intuit, and Microsoft. APIs are what enable different pieces of software to integrate and talk to each other. They are the cornerstone of most modern apps, allowing companies to add extra utility without having to build the functionality from scratch. Companies have built substantial businesses off the back of APIs, including the likes of Twilio and tech juggernauts such as Google. Recent reports suggest demand for APIs has spiked during the COVID-19 crisis. Rapid API, an API marketplace that last month raised $25 million from big-name backers including Microsoft's M12 and Andreessen Horowitz, said it has seen a significant developer response to the global pandemic, with users turning to its marketplace to integrate relevant coronavirus APIs into their own applications. Without divulging specific figures, Postman CEO and co-founder Abhinav Asana said the company had also seen record API usage during the coronavirus outbreak. Postman adopts an API-first ethos, so APIs are created at the start of a software project rather than tacked on at the end. This helps ensure that an API is compatible with all the devices and platforms it needs to communicate with. Postman offers an environment where API producers and consumers can work together on APIs, garnering feedback throughout the development process. It also integrates with many of the common cloud communication and coding tools that developers use, including GitHub, GitLab, Bitbucket, Dropbox, Datadog, Slack, and Microsoft Teams. End quote. Finally today, tech companies having their own venture arms is nothing new, and in fact is quite common. Microsoft, Google, Qualcomm, everybody's got one. Intel was actually among the first in the early 90s. If you're curious about the history of that, I once did an Internet History Podcast interview with the guy who launched Intel Capital, Avram Miller. Look that up. But today I learned that, until today, Facebook has never had its own venture arm. Sources are telling Axios that Facebook is establishing a venture arm to invest in startups, and, quote, Facebook posted a job opening recently saying it was looking to hire a head of investments for its new product experimentation, or NPE, team, ideally someone with 10 years of tech experience. In this role, you will manage a multi-million dollar fund that invests in leading private companies alongside top venture capital firms and angel investors, Facebook said in the now-deleted job posting. You will develop investment and impact theses, lead the execution of new investments, and support existing portfolio companies as needed, end quote. Facebook confirmed to Axios that it has hired someone to fill that role, but declined to name the person or say how large the fund would be. Also helping to manage the new fund is Shabi Rizvi, a Google and Kleiner Perkins veteran who was most recently at Gradient Ventures, one of the corporate venture firms owned by Alphabet, Google's parent company. A source familiar with the company's plans said the effort is not a general purpose fund, but rather a targeted effort to stay in close touch with the startup world. Facebook characterized the effort as an extension of the work it has done in the past with startup accelerators and hackathons, end quote. Back in 2003-ish, when I got my first iPod, I filled it with a whole ton of Howard Stern Show recordings that I found on Usenet news groups. Like, some dude had dumped every Stern Show episode from, like, 1989 through 2002, and I scooped them all up, and I listened to them all for about half a decade. I actually missed out on the early years of podcasting because I didn't need podcasting at the time. I had all those back Stern Show episodes. Well, this is not that, but over the weekend I stumbled across the Entourage-a-thon on YouTube. 5 years ago, Gil Ozeri did a stunt where he watched every single episode of the show Entourage all in a row without sleep, and he videotaped it, or I guess live streamed it. All his friends stopped by to help, which basically meant that every single famous comedian in LA showed up over the course of a weekend. I actually remember watching the live stream at the time, and it was legitimately one of the funniest things I have ever encountered, so I was thrilled to find that it still exists. All 50 hours of the Entourage-a-thon are on YouTube. I burned them to audio and put them on my phone, and all week I've just been blissing out every chance I get. So I'm behind on my podcast listening again this week, but who cares? Because the Entourage-a-thon is literally perfect. Talk to you tomorrow.